You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 15th. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, horse world.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, it's so exciting to be back with another Equine Affair episode. And you've been to HP a couple times. You're not going this year, though, right?
Oh, you bring up a sad thing. No, not this year. I have been, four times? And I love it. Yeah. I think the last time I missed was I was having my baby. But yeah, not this year.
Well, I'm flying there today. So I'm flying into Dallas and I will represent, okay?
I'll
let you know if anything exciting happens.
So yes, I'll be tuned to Facebook watching.
So those that don't know, that's American Horse Publications. It's all the journalists from the horse world and people like me get together and we have a good time and learn some things. And I'm on a panel this year with Lisa Wysocki, ironically.
Yes.
About interviewing guests. So it was funny.
It's something you know a little bit about.
Yeah, a little bit. They wrote to me and said, do you want to do this panel? We kind of think you'd be good at it. And we had just figured out that we'd interviewed like over 6,000 people. And I said, yeah, I think I could probably handle that panel.
I think you can. Yeah. This is a thought I had. 6,000 people. So can you categorize people now in your head?
Well, like, I don't know about categorize, but I can tell in 30 seconds if they're going to be a good guest or it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell, you can too. You've done it long enough.
Yeah.
You can tell that. And then there's the ones that surprise you. We don't talk to our guests ahead of time. A lot of podcasts insist that they do a whole hour meeting with them before they even do the show.
And who has time for that?
Yeah, we don't have time for that. And our guests wouldn't have time for that. So we don't do it. We've never done it. I kind of like the spontaneity of not doing it. Mm-hmm. And that means that we have to be better. So if the guest is nervous and, you know, and we have a lot of nervous guests. So if we have the guest that's nervous, and I can understand coming on with you or I or Jamie and I especially, you're going to get a little nervous, but it's our job to help them through that. So,
yes.
So, you know, I do it, you know, that's the thing you read right away is, are they nervous and how can, and then our job is to help them overcome it in some way.
Exactly.
But who do we have today?
Oh, well, no nervous guest today. Well, our first guest, people might remember, it's our president and our owner, Kogi Long. She's going to come on and give us a State of Equine Affair interview.
Oh, she's so that's what we very call exciting. An easy guest because we just get her started and she goes and she's fine.
And she knows her job inside and out, which of course she does. Yeah, Kogi bought the company. I think I've told you guys this before. She bought it in 2018, but she has been a member of the company for many years before that. She kind of worked her way up. She had my job. I think she's worked in every department since she started with the company out of college. And then so it was sort of a natural evolution that when Eugenia wanted to retire in 2018, Kogi stepped up and bought the company and now she runs it. And so she knows everything about everything. She's just a tremendous resource. And so I'm excited to have her on the show today so you guys can hear straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Literally.
Literally.
She's the boss. She's Allison's boss, so I was told I had to be good today.
Yes, you have to be good. No mouthing off. She's, Kogi's the best. And so we are excited to have her on the show. And then our second guest today will be Alexis Miller, and she's the winner of the Ohio Breed Bonanza Adult Division. So we're going to hear all about her horse that she won on, a beautiful Friesian, and chat with Alexis a little bit. So it's going to be a fun show today.
Well, before we get to Kogi, who's coming up first, going to have the boss on first. Any announcements or any housekeeping we have to do?
Sure. Well, you guys, you know, we just finished April in Ohio. We were there. Glenn and I were just together. And now a few weeks later, we're apart again. But so we've just finished up Ohio. It was a great show. We'll talk more about that with Kogi, obviously. But yeah, housekeeping, just start saving those dates, guys. Equine Affair will be in Massachusetts, November 6th through the 9th. And then our Ohio dates for next year, if you're already thinking ahead to 2026, April 9th through the 12th, 2026. And I have it on good authority, the Ohio Expo Center will not be under as major construction next year. Thank God.
They won't have to park 12 miles away then. A little closer.
I just got an update yesterday from Kogi, who talked to OEC, and we sort of got a glimpse into what next year will look like, and it should be so much better. Okay. Our Midway will be back open. We'll probably be back in the Celeste building. So all of that mess that we had to persevere through this year, hopefully that's all over with. There will still be some dust and some things going on, but not where we usually are. And so that's the good news for Ohio 2026. And then for Mass 2025, no construction at Eastern States. It's going to be a blast. We're looking forward to Massachusetts. And we are taking the breed bonanza back to Massachusetts again this fall. So that's kind of my big announcement. We will have it again. So that makes this episode kind of even more fun that we get to talk about it a little bit more.
And of course, one of our terrific sponsors for this show and for Equine Affair is Sentinel. Sentinel extruded feed is expertly formulated for performance horse health. Just ask champion equestrian Sharon White. She's focused on making her horses the best athletes they can be and says they perform extremely well on Sentinel Performance LS extruded feed. Sharon feeds it because, in her words, it just works. That sounds like Sharon. I know Sharon. Sentinel Performance LS is a low starch, low sugar nutrient release formulation with high levels of quality fat and fiber. It's perfect for equine athletes competing in a variety of disciplines or any horse with elevated caloric needs. Visit feedsentinel.com/trusted to learn more about the performance horse feed trusted by champions like Sharon White. That's feedsentinel.com/trusted. And coming up first, we have the boss. Kogi's going to join us to talk about, I love how you named this, the state of the affair.
All right. Well, our next guest is someone that you've heard before, but it's been a few years. We last had her on the show in 2022 when we first moved the podcast over to Horse Radio Network. So it seemed like past time to bring our president and our owner, Kogi Long, back for a little state of the affair interview. And a state of an affair, this sounds more fun than State of the Union. So let's welcome Kogi to the show to give us a little state of the affair. Hi, Kogi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me back.
Yes. Well, it's always fun to have you on the show. We've done it a few times over the years. Most of them were pre-Horse Radio Network, but now it's your second one on the Horse Radio Network. So you're here with me and Glenn, which is fun.
Now I have to be good. I have to be good for this interview.
Pressure's on.
Yeah. Yes, he mouths off a lot when you're not here, but when you're here.
No. Oh, it's all good fun.
Yes, it is. And Glenn's the best co-host. So
sure.
I don't know. I guess everybody hears me every month talk about Equine Affair, and we talk about our guests and we talk about our features and things, but it's a little bit different when you're the head wrangler, the head boss. So tell us a little bit about the state of Equine Affair. How are you feeling about things these days?
Sure. Well, I think it's always, we're just coming off of our Ohio event, and it's always kind of the climax, the penultimate for Equine Affair staff to see everything really come together. So that really kind of rejuvenates us, gives us energy to really kind of create our next future productions. So just coming off of Ohio, we had a great event, super turnout, and some really fun things to do at the event, some great education, interactive activities, and new features. So we're always trying to kind of stay ahead of the curve and keep bringing new and different experiences and education to our attendees. And that's kind of one of our goals, to keep doing as we move forward.
I got to give you guys kudos, all of you that did it, from you guys and the volunteers and everybody, because it was a challenge for you this year with the construction going on around the venue, which you had nothing to do with and just basically had to work around. And, you know, that had to just add some gray hairs, because it's just another obstacle, right?
It is. Yes. Producing an event in and of itself is an obstacle, number one. But when you do it, when you have a facility that is completely under construction, it does add a whole nother dimension to things. But we did it. We made it. I think our biggest hurdle was getting people in from the parking lot. Once we got them into the event, everything else kind of flowed and everybody was there for Equine Affair and had the Equine Affair experience. So,
That was the Kogi. That was so, the only whining I heard this year. And, you know, I tend to hear things because listeners stop by and I always ask, and I ask vendors, and I know a lot of the vendors and things. So, but I, you know, that was the only thing I heard. And, you know, I think they kind of got that, you know, you don't own the place, right? So you're not doing the construction.
Right.
You know, so they kind of forgive you. Everybody's agitated a little bit. But then, you know, one of the things I saw with this one, and I always look for this, having been a retailer at one point in my life, I always look for the number of bags that people are carrying around. There were a lot of bags. And, you know, that's a good sign, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I think people really came to shop. They found a lot of different things that they were looking for, from their staples to the gifts to things that they'll need for the coming summer. So I think it was well-rounded, but lots of shopping bags that were definitely full or multiple bags, which is a good thing for everybody.
You know what I was surprised at? And I told Allison this is just funny. I saw the company. What's the company in the building that was across from us that had all of the stall mats, Allison? I forget the name of the
LRP thing. Matting.
Yes. Well, they had a truckload of mats there. And I just can't believe how many people came there to buy mats. You know, I just was, it's crazy. You know, it's something like that somebody comes to an Equine Fair and buys a pile of.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, we try to feature everything from the main staples that you need in the bar and all the way through the fun stuff. So yes, there's always some good things that you can't get elsewhere, or maybe it's just a good deal at Equine Affair. So you bring your truck and you stock up.
One of our listeners bought a trailer too. So
yes.
Bought a new trailer and we're taking it home to like Tennessee or somewhere. It was a ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, that's the goal. And that's really kind of some of the success stories that we like to see our attendees having, knowing that they're coming to Equine Affair to get those special things, whether it's a big ticket item or the smaller everyday things. It all adds up in supporting our exhibitors.
Well, and you buy the trailer and then you bring your horse husband with you to haul all your heavy stuff to the trailer, like the mats. So that Glenn, that's your whole purpose in being there. I mean, you were shopping for Jennifer, so.
That's true. I think this one, too, she had to call her husband to drive up from, like, Tennessee with the truck to get the trailer.
Oh. So. That's true
that
love.
That was a honeydew, yeah. Right? Yes.
I can imagine that phone call.
Yeah.
Honey, can you bring the truck and drive 6 hours for me?
Well, she must have a great husband, because sounds like he came and hooked her up.
Literally.
Yes.
Well, that's an easy drive, too. I've done it. I can say that. You know, I would drive a trailer 6.5 hours for my money, I guess. Of course, he would have to do it for me, not the other way around. But that's one of my favorite things. Glenn, you're looking for the bags. I'm looking for usually it's in pictures later. I'm looking for the husbands, the grandpas, the dads who are like carrying mounting blocks on their heads or anything heavy. They're usually dragging along behind their women. So that's always fun for me to see.
So, Kogi, we had a new event this year, the Donkey Extravaganza, which I love donkeys, so I thought that was fun. But what do you think of that? What did you think of that? How'd it go over?
I think the Donkey Extravaganza was extremely popular. We kind of had a feeling that it would be going into the event based on kind of the excitement that we were seeing on our social media channels. But once we got there and people saw the donkeys in person, it was just kind of one of those things where who doesn't want to see a donkey up close and personal? So, and I also think everyone came away from it learning a lot more than they thought they were going to learn about donkeys or thought that there was to learn about donkeys. So with educational programming that really went all day, every day on anything from donkey welfare to how do you take care of a donkey versus a horse? What are their different needs? What are their special traits? I think it was just a fun event that really was a super success. All the donkeys that came to the event were either sold or adopted. Plus, we heard there's a waiting list for after the event. So we can't ask for much more than that.
Those mini donkeys were the cutest damn things ever. They were so cute.
They were, right? Right?
They went right away, apparently, because they were just adorable.
Right, for sure.
And the adoption event seemed to be, it always does well. They always adopt out almost all the horses. And that seemed to be the case this year, too.
Yes, it was. And I think that's kind of kudos to our attendee base, too, for really putting their hearts out there and giving these horses or donkeys a new home and another chance.
Allison?
Yeah, the adoption affair, I think that they had 33 horses there and they had applications or they got all of them adopted. And that really does speak to our attendees, like Kogi was saying. It's like, can you imagine we think of our horses as spouses or children or, they have this long lived relationship with us and many of them live forever. I have a senior horse at home that I got as a teenager and she's still with us. And it's not an easy commitment. And so I love when our attendees come and they bring their trailer or they buy a trailer and adopt a horse and then they take them home. And it's just like, wow, did you think you'd have a new family member by the end of the day or the end of the weekend? But they do it. And I love to hear their stories on Facebook because I usually check in with everybody. I'll post periodically and say, hey, how are your adopted horses doing? And people do. They tell me and they send pictures and it's so fun and so heartwarming to see that they really are taking them home and they're having a whole new family and a whole new life. And it's like, wow, that's really special. That's something unique.
Yes, for sure. That's a pretty neat connection or way to connect people for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, like, last year you didn't think you'd be going home with too many ponies, but you did.
But I did. Yes. And they are doing well and very happy little ponies. So
yes. Two new members of your family. And that's you weren't right. Even expecting it.
Well, you just never know. But it was a good thing.
And the donkey extravaganza really was so popular. And I already have people begging for it in mass.
Well, that was
and
my
we'll
next
see.
Question. Are you going to do it again somewhere?
We are talking about it and exploring options. So hopefully you will see it again. Yes. Well, we'd like to bring it back. We just have a few pieces of the puzzle to kind of put together in order to make it happen. And so yes, our goal is to bring it back. Whether it will be this fall or in the future, that is to be revealed in the near future.
So this is a business question, I guess, is, with the economy and with tariffs and things like that, does that factor into your plan? Like now we're planning for Massachusetts in November. Does the environment factor into your planning for a show like this, or do you plan and just hope?
It's kind of a combination. I think we try to keep a pulse on the economy and the overall, I guess, worldwide culture in large and try and cater a little bit. At the same time, we also kind of have a formula that we know typically works for our events.
You've been through a few recessions over the time your events have been going on.
So, we have, yes. Yeah. Yes, we have. And as we all know, I mean, certain industries feel those recessions more than others. Obviously, the equine industry is not immune to any of the recessions by any means. So we do have to take
longer.
That into consideration.
I want to see if you agree with this, and it's what we found doing these shows for 18 years now, is that it tends to take longer for it to affect the equine world, and then it tends to take longer for it to stop affecting the equine world. So we tend to be behind on both ends of it.
I would agree with that, yes, yeah. Yes. I think, yes, horse people really, I mean, especially those that own horses, it's not like they're going to give them away or give them unless they're really in a situation where they have to. So most horse people are going to try and work things out one way or another, whether it means they're not going to get coffee this week every day and they're going to feed their horse instead, then the horse is going to have the priority
for a year.
Exactly. So yeah, I think you are dead on there in terms of feeling a recession a little bit later, but again, a little slower to see the effects afterwards.
Okay, I'm done with the serious questions now.
Okay. Well, it is a state of the affair. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I have to say, though, yeah. Yes, I think going into looking ahead to Massachusetts, based at where we are today, I think we're seeing that it's going to be a really good event. So we have a lot of exhibitors that are very excited. Our trade show floor is looking super. And the attendees are really chomping at the bit, if you say, at this point, waiting for tickets to go on sale in July. So we're excited. I think there's a lot of good energy kind of brewing as we prepare for this fall.
Was it always, I always wanted to ask you in the beginning, was it designed to be kind of a Christmas event, or did it just happen that way?
It kind of, basically, those were the dates that worked best in the calendar for the Eastern States Exposition at that time. We obviously wanted to separate it from our spring event, so giving ourselves enough time in between to prepare for both events. So that was kind of on the opposite side of the calendar year as our April Equine Affair in Columbus. So that's kind of how it worked out. And honestly, it was a good date selection for us at that point, and it's held true moving forward.
Well, and it's such a fun way to kick off the holiday season for attendees and for the staff. Honestly, I don't really think about the holidays starting until I get back from Equine Affair, even though I do have to start thinking about it before Equine Affair. Right, otherwise, yes. I'm like way behind when I get home and I go, oh no, it's almost Thanksgiving. But right. I always do my Christmas shopping there. I mean, it's just sort of the perfect way to go, hey, we can start having some fun now. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably why I personally kind of love the Massachusetts event a little bit more than Ohio, just because it is the start of the best time of the year. So I like it at that time of year. And I think most of our attendees do too. They see it as, ooh, let's go Christmas shopping. And that adds a new special kind of energy that you just don't really have in Ohio. We're all thinking about summer and we're thinking about show season and stuff in Ohio, but like Christmas is a little bit different. So that's just kind of my personal love for Massachusetts there. Speaking of kind of both of our events, so we've now had the Breed Bonanza in Massachusetts, and we've had it in Ohio. And so I wanted to ask you, because we just interviewed the winner of our Ohio Breed Bonanza in this episode, how do you see that feature going? How's that been now that we've seen it in both locations now?
I would say it came together in a wonderful way. It really was kind of a concept that we thought, well, it just was kind of a unique idea to try and bring everybody together from all the different backgrounds, from different breeds, different disciplines in one arena, and kind of put them all against each other to see who the top horse and rider might be for that event. So really designed to be like a fun class, but I think it really came together in a super way. Just from we had a great number of participants for both adult and youth divisions. And right off the bat, we had Sentinel by Kenton Blue Seal jump on as a sponsor of it, kind of supporting our vision for it. So really starting right off the bat with a great sponsor who really believes in what we were going to do with it. I think that has kind of even brought it to another level, even though we've only done it once in both Ohio and Massachusetts at this point. I think it's something that we will continue at least for a while here and let it continue to gain traction and show off all these great horses and riders that are either already at Equine Affair or want to come to Equine Affair just for that class. It really just kind of highlights things in a little different way.
Well, and it adds something really fun on Sunday morning. It's just like, ooh, you know, the competition isn't over. We've got another champion or two champions to crown on Sunday. So it kind of, I feel like, keeps some momentum going through the weekend.
It does. Yes. Yes. It really gives us something to look forward to on Sunday as kind of the final day of the event, and really kind of neat to, like you said, crown the winners on Sunday as kind of the last component of the competitive side of Equine Affair. So it's yeah, I think everyone was engaged. They were interested. They had fun. And I think it was another way to bring people together from all different types of backgrounds. Obviously, they were in the ring together competing on Sunday. But before Sunday, we had our pre-competition meeting on Saturday afternoon, just kind of giving the lay of the land, how the class would go. But within that, we also had each of the riders introduce themselves to everybody else and kind of give a little bit of their background. Where did they come from? What discipline are they riding? What breed of horse are they riding? And so it was just kind of a fun round robin to bring everybody together in a little bit of a networking way to see who all was going to be participating.
Well, we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you this question. Do you ever see, and because we have a lot of West Coast listeners, and I mean West Coast, pretty much anything west of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see opening one out further west?
If the right facility and dates and opportunity came along, I wouldn't say no.
Obviously, there are a lot of things. Allison just had a heart attack. She just over
no,
here.
I didn't.
She's over here panting.
We,
her eyes got really big.
No, we have talked about it. We have talked about it not that long ago.
We're always keeping our feelers out there. There are several things that really have to align in order for us to say yes. I think this is worth jumping into and producing another event, but not to say that we wouldn't if the right opportunity comes along.
All right, cool.
Well, and we did it before. I mean, we didn't personally, but Cody
right?
did.
Yes, yes, yes.
You were in California before, right?
We were in California for about 10 years. So yes, that event just was significantly smaller than our Ohio and Massachusetts events. And so going all the way across the country and putting the same amount of effort to produce an event when it was only a third of the size, just we kind of said, you know, I think we're going to preserve our efforts and our resources and really put those into the other two events rather than continuing to go out all the way to California. But not to say that we wouldn't again
in the
future.
Well, it wouldn't have to be California either. It could be Oklahoma.
No,
or, you know,
no.
Anywhere out there.
Right, yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Or even Colorado for that matter.
Right.
Ooh, yeah. Colorado.
Now, see, that got Allison excited. She's
now she's ready, right? Yeah, time to saddle up.
Yeah. I'll go to that one, too. We like Colorado.
Hey, okay, Glenn's in. So.
In.
All right, then we can do it.
We're doing it. No.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We really do appreciate you joining us and giving us kind of an update on where everything is.
Well, it's a pleasure as always, and thank you for all that you guys do as well, hosting our podcast each month. It's always fun to see and hear all the new guests and where everybody's coming from. So thank you again.
Prepare. Now you have to go get to work. November 6th is coming up.
It is. Yes. There's plenty on the to-do list.
Yeah. Thanks, Cookie.
Feed and supplements, you bet. Vaccines and dewormers, got them. Halters and helmets in stock. Prescription medications, yep, and approved by your veterinarian. Your horse's favorite treats and toys, of course. All these and more shipped straight to your barn fast and free for orders over $49. You can count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine. That's chewy.com/equine for everything you need for your horses. I got to get on Chewy, man. I haven't ordered anything from him yet.
Oh, Jennifer,
what's wrong with me?
Jennifer just placed another large order yesterday, I noticed, because there's so much pop up in the credit card statement.
For both of us. No, but I do. I got to jump on that. Chewy is great.
Well,
I have one of their boxes.
We have a Chewy warehouse right here in Ocala. So a lot of times when you order the stuff, it could be here, you know, it's definitely here the next day for sure.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's nice. And they have great stuff. I go on the website sometimes and I go, what all horsey stuff do they have? And they really do, guys. They have a ton of it. I believe it.
Well, she had to get vaccines for the new horse. And mm-hmm. she usually gets them from the other place people bought vaccines from. And she said they were so much cheaper at Chewy. So she ordered them from Chewy this time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I do need some vaccines for my old horse. Okay. Well, I got to put that on the to-do list. All right. So... next up on the show, we have Alexis Miller, and she is a long-term experienced fan of Equine Affair. She's been coming for many, many years. She's been bringing her beautiful horses, and this year she came to compete in the Breed Bonanza with her Friesian Rycloth. So let's tune in to Alexis and hear a little bit more about her experience competing in the Breed Bonanza. Well, our next guest is Alexis Miller, and you might recognize her name. She's a bit of a celebrity at Equine Affair. She won the 2025 Ohio Breed Bonanza. That was our first year holding the Breed Bonanza in Ohio, and I was very excited to see Alexis win. So let's welcome her to the show and hear all about it. So hi, Alexis.
Hi, guys.
And remind me, where are you local to Ohio? Where are you from?
So I'm in Ohio. I'm actually in a little town way out in the country in Collins, Ohio. So out by Norwalk and Sandusky area.
Awesome. Yeah. And so you probably grew up with Equine Affair. How long have you been coming to Equine Affair?
I mean, I've been coming to Equine Affair probably since I was around like 9 or 10 years old. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, it's been probably a good, 20 years or so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So you know the history firsthand of our event.
Yes. I definitely have seen it grow over the years. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. So what inspired you to compete in the Breed Bonanza this year? What made you go, yeah, I'm going to do that?
Well, I was looking at the website and I first saw a posting over Facebook and it looked kind of interesting. Normally I do the clinics. I'll do the dressage clinics normally. Yeah. I have taken Kingsley to one or two of those in the past few years, but the Breed Bonanza looked a little different and it looked like something that would be fun, maybe a little bit more challenging for Kingsley and I. So we decided to kind of add that on. I knew we were going to go down for Expo anyways and bring him out and show him off with our other friends over at Miley's Friesians. So I decided to add on a little something extra for Sunday for us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. And thank you for participating in Equine Affair, because Kingsley is stunning. Tell us about your horse. Tell us about Mr. Kingsley.
Thank you. He is a big puppy dog. So Kingsley is a sweetheart. He loves people. He absolutely loves kids. So Equine Affair has always kind of been a fun time just to kind of bring him down there, and people get to, meet him. They get to learn more about the Friesian breed. And he's honestly a really great representation of the Friesian breed. In personality, in looks, gaits. So he always has a blast coming down there and everything. And now we just kind of decided to, show him down there and get him into the Coliseum. I was really excited that the Breed Bonanza was in the Coliseum. I'd never actually ridden him in there before, so I was curious to see how he would do.
Yeah, because I imagine it feels humongous standing at those in gates. Like, I've only ever been on foot standing there. I've never ridden in it myself, but I stand there. Yes. And I go, man, this feels massive.
Yes, I've ridden other horses in there because I used to do U Show and all different types of other shows there, but I've never taken him there, and he did quite well for it. So
now, do you show him a lot? What do you guys do together most of the time outside of Equine Affair?
Yes. So he is in full-time training all the time with me. We ride dressage. So we compete through all USEF, USDF. We compete in rated shows all around the U.S. We go up and down the coast, basically. Anywhere. We actually just got back in March time. We were down in Florida for around 40 days doing winter training for a month of February. So we went down there. We got to train.
Were you here in Ocala?
We were in Wellington.
Wellington. Okay.
Wellington area there too. Yeah. So we were, riding the nice 80, 90 degree weather and training up really hard. Then we came back up to Ohio and it was still kind of cold. But yeah, so he just actually had his first show of the season just last weekend out in Cincinnati area. So we usually do about a show or two a month. All throughout the year until October.
So Equine Affair was a little bit of a warm up for him.
Yes. Yeah. I was getting his feet a little wet there. Yes.
Yeah. So, and when you were talking about bringing him out to Equine Affair to display him and exhibit him, Friesians are so popular. It's like, I see you guys out there on these gorgeous, big, beautiful black horses with all the mane and the feathers and everything. And it's like everyone just goes, glum, we want to see the Frisians. And it, how does that feel to be in the middle of a crowd like that? Like, I'm sure it's got to be overwhelming or just fun, or what's it feel like?
I think it is. It's so much fun. It is so much fun to just go out there and show off. Kingsley, he absolutely loves to be, you know, the center of attention. So it definitely works great in his favor too. I mean, he loves to kind of strut his stuff, and he gets very excited before we enter the ring when we go to events like this. So yeah, no, it's really, really fun. I think the most fun I have though, especially with the breed expos, are when the little kids kind of come up and that, I mean, they see their dream horse for the first time in person. Yeah. You know, usually they have like a Briar model of a Frisian or something like that too. Mm-hmm. So just to see the horse that they dream about, you know, I love it. I mean, Kingsley's great. So, I mean, they can come up and hug him and pet him and really get to interact with him too. So, I mean, it's just great to kind of basically just share in the joy, you know, of owning a Frisian and having such a spectacular horse.
Well, and how did you come to own Ryclough? Or Ryclough is his registered name. We were yes, laughing about what a short registered name that is, but how did you come to own Kingsley? What got you into Frisians?
So I actually kind of fell upon him. My mother actually had purchased him because that was her dream horse at first.
Oh.
And she just kind of, she had him for like about a year or so. And she kind of got out of the horse riding a little bit. And so he kind of sat there for a little bit. And I was like, I saw him and I was like, oh, well, I'd love to take him along. I have a couple other horses at home as well. And I mainly ride my Oldenburg gelding in dressage mainly too. So I was like, well, if you're not going to do anything with him, could I take him along and start him in dressage training? And so, yeah, I got really attached to him. We actually ended up, you know, going into full training together and then showing some, and I eventually purchased him from her. So
you didn't really steal your mom's horse, but you kind of stole your mom's horse.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. She absolutely loves watching us and like goes out to the shows and stuff like that with us too and everything. So yeah, it was really funny how he ended up in my hands, because I've always loved Frisians. I mean, they're beautiful horses. Mm-hmm. I just never thought to myself, oh yeah, I'm going to go off and, you know, purchase one. But I will say, after owning him, I 100% understand why people are so addicted when it comes to this breed, because they're just the sweetest horses. And I mean, they're genuine. They have amazing personalities. They're beautiful, a little bit more upkeep than some horses with the manes and tails and feathers.
Yeah.
But I mean, definitely worth it. I mean, they make everything just enjoyable, whether you're, you know, riding around in a parade or trail riding or you're showing or you're just riding around at home. So,
okay. But we know all horses have their quirk. Every horse has their quirk. What's his quirk?
His quirk. So Kingsley, I would have to say for him, he does this really funny thing. So when he's on the cross ties, and sometimes he can definitely embarrass me sometimes with this too, but he loves to stick his tongue out, and he'll actually, I mean, he can basically curl his tongue all the way over to the side and almost, I mean, fully touch his cheek. So he does that. When I first got him too, and I started riding him, I was like, please don't do this while I ride. So he does not do it while we ride. But if once you take that bridle off him, he's, oh my gosh, he's like, his mouth is everywhere. He's opening things. He's very, yeah, very, very active with the mouth.
Is he good at gates and handles and stuff?
So good. So good. No. I mean, he's a magician. So
all of us have had one of those, and it, at times it's just a nightmare, because they just, you think, oh, I got to do the double lock thing because, you know, I got to, and you forget, and then they're out. It's like,
oh yeah, he's really good. Yes. And he is the type too. If you leave something loose or something like that, he'll get himself out. go anywhere else. I mean, he'll find you and come right up to you, but aww, he wants to be by you. But yes, he's definitely an escape artist, and he's really, really good with his mouth there.
It's like the electric fence horses, the ones that know the minute you turn the electric fence off for whatever reason, they know that minute that electric fence isn't on. They just know.
They sense it. It's like the raptors in Jurassic Park. Well, we're fine as long as they can't open doors.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
So did he waggle his tongue during the breed bonanza? I don't think I saw.
Nope, he did great. Yeah. Good. He did great. So
part of the appeal of the breed bonanza is, of course, that you're competing against other breeds. Like there might be other Frisians, but there might be quarter horses or Dales ponies or Icelandics, or I'm trying to think of what the most outlandish horse we had this year. But was that weird to you? Was that normal? What did you think of that experience going in with horses of all different shapes and colors?
I thought it was really, really cool. So I thought it was really neat when I first read up on, you know, all the rules, I guess, and everything too. I was like, oh, how are they going to do this? You know, they're judging, you know, by gait, and then you got the riding style, and then the breed, you know, for that as well too, along with the discipline. But it was really, really neat to kind of be in there with a lot of different breeds. I will say Kingsley's very used to in dressage. We just ride in the arena when we do our tests with one horse.
Right. Yeah.
So that was interesting. Yeah. So that was really interesting too. I thought it would be kind of a cool experience for him to do more of a rail class, because he's never really done a rail class before.
Okay.
So yeah, that was kind of eye-opening for him to kind of go along, and there were other horses riding alongside him. So
he's like, wait, I'm supposed to be the star. Who are these people? Jeez. And so your win was unanimous. I think you could get 14 or 15 possible points per judge, and like two judges gave you full points and one judge deducted 1 point. So, I mean, you were the highest score you could possibly get. How did it feel when you found out you'd won?
I was honestly, I mean, seeing all the other horses in there too, we had some pretty nice rider and horse combinations. So I was a little surprised there too. I mean, I went out there, I tried my best with him. I just wanted him to have, you know, a nice, calm, you know, time working around the arena. That was my main focus, is just, you know, to keep him focused on what we were doing and the task at hand. But yeah, no, I was, I mean, super ecstatic. We've been working really, really hard on just rideability, my rider position, our gaits, everything. I mean, that's mainly what we do in dressage, is, you know, trying to get nice fluid gaits. So
yeah. Well, and you looked amazing. You guys did a fantastic job. So congratulations on your win. You are our first ever Ohio champion. So you've made history.
The check for $1 million is in the mail for the winning.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. They said they'd be sending me a check here.
Yeah.
I know. Right. If only. But you did get a really nice blanket, right? It was a cooler with the embroidery. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's really nice. No, yeah, and he wore it home, so.
And you know what? Every color matches black, so you're good.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is one advantage to the Frisians. You don't have to worry about color. Anything's going to match.
Yep.
Yes, everything goes with black.
Yeah, exactly.
One quick question, my last question is, do you ever ride him in costume? Because I feel like I see so many Frisian people really go all out in costumes. Do you ever do that?
So yes, I have started, and usually around Halloween time, yes, we've been building up a really cool medieval costume. Slowly but surely, I've been getting pieces and sets, and I've got breast collar. I need to get a saddle, but I have my bridle set up already, and a lot of things that go into his mane and tooling. So every couple months, I usually gather another thing or two for our medieval set. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome. That's always my favorite when I see them all dressed up in medieval costumes.
It's so much fun to ride them around in the costume, for sure. He definitely, he's done a couple parades, and he loves doing parades. So,
aww. All right. Well, congratulations again, and thanks for coming on to share about your win.
Well, thank you guys.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Don't forget, Equine Affair in Massachusetts, West Springfield, Massachusetts, November 6th through the 9th. For everybody in New England, Fantasia returns November 6th, 7th, and 8th. And tickets for both events go on sale July the 9th. I know a lot of you wait for that date. So July the 9th, we'll remind you again before it comes up. And they definitely want to follow your Facebook page is the best place to keep up to date.
Yes, okay. Follow us on Facebook at Equine Affair. Everything you see there comes pretty much straight from me. So if you're a big fan of me, no. But yeah, that is where all the latest news, that's where we do videos, that's where we do pictures, we do all that good fun stuff, and it's definitely where we'll announce about July 9th and tickets going on sale. Also, if you're not a member of our email list, you should get on that. You can sign up for the Equine Affair email list and get reminders about all the good stuff, including applications for Ride with a Pro and the competitions and all that good stuff. You just go to our website, and I think you scroll down to the very bottom, and you can sign up there.
And I did want to remind everybody that we do have a separate RSS feed, a separate podcast feed for the Equine Affair podcast. I mean, you're part of Horses in the Morning feed, but if they just want the Equine Affair, you can just search for Equine Affair podcast in your podcast player, and then you can, one, listen to all the past episodes, but that will be the only thing that populates that as this month-to-month episode. So check that out as well. And of course, Horses in the Morning is here 5 days a week. We're approaching 4,000 episodes, so we're glad that you're here, and we appreciate you hanging around. If you need to get caught up, we figured it out. If you listen 24 hours a day, it'll take you almost a year to listen to this. So
that's on my to-do list now. Listen straight for a year.
Well, you know, many people have said, I fall asleep to your show, which I view as flattering, because
yes,
we're the last thing they think about during the day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's boring, but, I think...
No, it's not a boring thing. I listen to audiobooks to go to sleep to, and I listen to some podcasts to go to sleep to, and it has to be a particular voice,
and
content.
It's a podcast that you like, because you can't go to sleep listening to podcasts that just pisses you off.
It really is a compliment. Yeah. Don't take it the wrong way. It's a compliment. If I pick you to fall asleep to, it's because I like you.
You know, actually, Ashley does a sleep show that's becoming very popular. The numbers are going way up on it. And so I got to tell you a cute story. So Ashley's husband is in the military. He's Air Force. Mm-hmm. And he was in D.C. for meetings. And he met a guy, one of their old friends from a previous base. And the guy said, you know, I fall asleep to your wife every night. And he was like, what? And he listens to sleep stories, not even a horse guy. Listens to sleep stories for equestrians and falls asleep to Ashley every night. She was so excited about that.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I know. So if you haven't listened to that one, Sleep Stories for Equestrians is what it's called. You'll find it on your podcast player. And she reads books, old horse books. And then, you know, it puts you right to sleep. And she has this voice. She does her sleepy voice. So she does a good job with it.
And she's a mom now, so she's got the sleep. You got to have the sleepy voice. Yeah. You got to. And so now she's building up a treasure trove of things for her son to listen to. So she can just hit play and then go in the other room.
That's it. Speaking of that, we're at the end of the show. We can talk about this. I follow you, of course, on Facebook. And for some reason, Facebook shows me all your posts. You know how they don't show you 90% of your friends' posts, right?
But sorry, Glenn.
10%. So I see your kid a lot. You're going to have your hand full in about 10 years, I got to say.
I have my hands full now. What are you talking about?
10 years from now, it's going to be something else.
Oh, yeah. Pray for me. Just start praying now.
Yeah, well, you taught her to be independent. She's going to be independent.
You know, Ryan and I started very early telling her she was strong, she was brave, she was independent. And maybe we did a little too much of that.
She took it all in.
She's got the bit between her teeth and she's off. And I'm telling you, the one rein stop doesn't work with her.
No, you're going to need a double bridle by the time she's 12. With the curb bit.
Send me some good thoughts, guys. And any parenting advice you have for strong-willed females.
I love how you joke about it. You know, you're kind of just, you know, you're playing around with it on Facebook. But reading between the lines, I'm going, oh, my God, this is going to be a nightmare.
you know me. But, you know, she's cute as a button.
She is cute as a button. There's no question about that. And she's mommy's daughter. She's the
light of my life. Yeah, she is. She looks just like me. Yep. She's got Ryan's attitude, but she's also got Ryan's. So if I tell her, no, don't do that, mm-hmm. she'll go, okay, well, can I do this? And then she'll do it incrementally.
Is that what your husband does?
Because sometimes, apparently when he was growing up, he did that a lot. And even now, like if we're in an argument, he'll be like, well, okay, what about this? And it's just like, deflecting. No, there's no negotiating. Okay. But there's always negotiating.
Deflect so. And negotiate. There you go.
Yep.
It's a yep. classic.
She, yeah, they are both good at that. So yeah, pray for me with, okay. with both of them.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We do appreciate it. And we'll see you all at Equine Affair.